As we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Loving Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, God, we realize that many of our fellow members are traveling or visiting family, and God, we just ask that you would bless their time and that it would be a positive experience. And God, I just thank you for everyone here today that you have brought, that you have designed. And God, I pray that what you have selected from the message for each one, that we hear it as it is spoken to us. God, I just praise you. I thank you. I'm grateful for those that also are on digitally from here and there and around the world. And God, I just thank you for each one. And this service is yours, and we just leave it in your hands. And God, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Who are you in Christ? I want you to think about that a little bit. Who are you in Christ? Do you know who you are? Is it something that you absolutely know without a doubt? Or is there some weeks it's very clear and some weeks not so clear? But it's, do you know who you are in Christ? Being a child of God is the most fundamental truth of our identity. That is a solid foundation that we can rest in, stand on, and not be shaken from. A child of God. Are you confident in who you are in Christ? If you know who you are with Christ, are you confident that that is something that you absolutely know and nothing can shake you from it? Today's text is from 1 John 3, verses 1 through 7. John in chapters 1 and 2 describes the life as fellowship with God. Fellowship with God, a companionship, a friendship, sharing interest with Him. Do you view God as your friend, as a companion, as someone that you can go to day or night, whether you're at home or at work, or maybe you're just sitting in the restaurant? Is that companionship, that fellowship, something that you can rely on and know that it's absolutely there? In chapter 3, which that's one we'll be going through today, verses 1 through 7, John describes it as living as children of God. We're going to talk about first the verses 1 through 3, the Father's love. How great is the love the Father has lavished in us. Think about that. That we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We could stop right now and call it the service, because that is the message. We are the children of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Making all people His dearly loved children, not all people participate in this divine sonship. Unbelievers live a lifestyle of sinning. Believers still sin. We are part of that, but are devoted to living as God's children. That's the difference. We don't live in this sinful life. We live trying to live according to God, but we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin, and He knows that. Dear friends, verse 2, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see him as he is. Think about that. That is powerful. Verse 3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Not all people know God to be the loving Father that he is. I want to read a little bit about Father. And for many, Father comes with baggage. There's a lot of people that baggage is there. This comes from the podcast that I quote often, Word of Life. It's a GCI podcast out of Europe. And the author of this particular one is a co-regional director out of Scotland. I recently read of a barbaric practice that happened throughout the Roman Empire. The Romans ruled for almost 1,000 years, and their empire at its zenith included 3 continents, Asia Minor, North Africa, and most of Europe. Its influence was extensive. This practice involved a newborn baby being placed at a father's feet. If he reached down and picked the baby up, the child was accepted as his own, welcomed into the family, given the family name, and could enjoy all the privileges of being a family member. But if the father turned and walked away, for whatever reason, the child was thrown out into the street and disowned. The thought of this happening at all, at any age, is heartbreaking, but to do this to a vulnerable newborn baby begs belief. This, however, was the world of the Roman occupation in which the Apostle John and the early Christians lived. They would have been aware of this horrible practice. It was reported that many Christians took in those unwanted babies to care for them. The father of the family had absolute rule over his household and children, as is the case today. Some fathers were good, others not so much. And I think about, I've talked with people that father is a dirty word to them. They didn't have a loving father. It's interesting, and you know my wife's story. Her father was God, and she openly told me that's who her father, as she grew up, is. Fathers have a pronounced impact on their family. If they love their child, a child blossoms. If they're critical and tell their child they're stupid, they are. They react accordingly. If you were blessed with a loving father, thank God, because there's a lot of people that don't. I know in talking with many of the kids from the Bible Club, father's not in the picture at all. Or in some cases, in the last year, has been removed from the family. And the kids miss their father but can't see him because of behaviors. This world is very broken, and the father's is a very absent place in a lot of families. But as we approach this particular set of scriptures, we have a father that loves us immensely. Verse 1 that we just read assures believers that they are God's children right now. You don't have to question that. The other part of that is when you interface with another human, guess what? They're a child of God also. Verse 2 assures them that they will be his children fully and forever when they are glorified, fully perfected, in the resurrection at Jesus' return. That's a done deal. We know that to be true. And verse 3 says that this hope molds their present behavior. Though imperfect, we have no desire to live habitually in sin. But yet we will sin. We revere our Heavenly Father and seek to live responsive to and expressive of His love. Believer understands that. Does that make them better? No. Does that make them more of a child of God? No. But it is a part of the world that we have. We live actively as children of God by sharing the Father's love. No matter what you do, the Father's love is there for you, reaching out, helping you in situations. Verses 4 through 8, we're going to talk about the Son's life. Jesus takes away our sins, verses 4 through 6. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Think of the gift that we have, that our sins have been covered. Verse 6, and no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. In verse 4, John says, sin is lawlessness. Notice it's sin, not sins. Sin, singular. He is referring not to individual acts of sin, but to settled lifestyles that involves rebellion against God. That's the difference. If you don't care about what you live your life like, that's that settled lifestyle. But if you think about your life and you don't like to sin, but it's still a part of the world you're in, it doesn't matter. He still loves and reaches out to you. We have embraced the life of Jesus through His incarnation and sinless humanity. He has taken away our sins. That is such a profound statement to think our sins have been taken and covered. We embrace and share the sinless, sin-bearing life of Jesus by placing our trust in Him and following Him as His disciples. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. And that's from 1 John 2, verse 3. If we obey His commands, love God, love your neighbor. That's all we're asked of. Sin, which is lawlessness, is utter rebellion against God's will and the Son's life. If we make mistakes, and we will, if we sin, and we will, but it's not something that we make a habit of doing. It's not a lifestyle that we choose. They're covered, and we understand that Jesus is our elder brother and that we are a child of God. In contrast, believers embrace God's will and the Son's life. Though not perfect in following Jesus, they do not practice lawlessness as settled lifestyles. And you know what I'm talking about. You know people that they just live their life and they don't worry too much about how that all comes out. They're just living life. To abide in Jesus is to see Him and to know Him, to experience intimate and continuing fellowship with Him. This is living in the reality that we truly are God's children. Jesus destroys the devil's work, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. We're just like Jesus. Jesus is righteous. If we're living that life of righteousness, we don't worry about those mistakes. We make changes. We try and do better. If our identity is in God, we will obey Him. But if our identity is in the devil, we will obey him. Basically, we're going to obey somebody. That's a part of our human nature. We will follow someone. Is it going to be God, or is it going to be the enemy, Satan, the devil? Our behavior or doing flows from our identity or being. We were created to live in right relationship with God and one another. Humans were meant to love and be loved. We think about so many that live in isolation, or they don't choose to communicate with others. Are they experiencing love? I don't know. God still loves them. God's there with them in their presence. But meant to love and be loved, reaching out to others, that's an opportunity we all have almost on a daily basis. If you go outside your house and you see anybody, you have an opportunity to show concern. Maybe it's just waving at somebody as you're driving down the road. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't. Doesn't hurt to wave. You know, in my previous secular job, the gentleman that took my vehicle when I retired told me a year later, he said, "You must wave at everybody because everybody waves at this vehicle." And I said, "Well, yeah, pretty much it did." He said, it was an eye-opener for him because he didn't function that way. But he found himself waving at others because they waved at him. You never know how you're going to impact other people. In Christ, we are already, but not yet, all that we need to be. We live each moment in full dependency upon Christ. We are beloved, children of our Heavenly Father. So we live into that reality, trusting Jesus to finish what he has begun in us by his Spirit. We're a work in progress, if you want to put it that way. But we're a work in progress with God. Doesn't get any better than that. The good news is that Jesus Christ has done all that is needed for us to live in right relationship with God and one another now and forever. You have been given the tools to do that. That is something that Jesus has put in you. The Father has put in you. We have all that is needed. It's kind of an interesting thought. We begin to simply be who God in Christ has created us to be. What does that look like in your life? As a child of God, we simply be who God in Christ has created us to be. Are you any different than a year ago, a month ago? Will you be different a month from now, a year from now? Following in the love of Jesus Christ. As a child of God, think of a family that has a newborn that they love and they pour into this child. Is a child going to be perfect? No, not so much. They'll hit terrible twos. They'll go to school. They'll bring home bad habits. They become teenagers. And somewhere in there, they get their mid-20s. And life, if their parents have poured into them, that child is making good choices because God has been involved in that child's life. They know they have a family. They know they have a God who loves them. And they're comfortable in that love. They're comfortable in being a child of God. They experience it. We do not achieve our identity. We receive it from the one we belong to, our Heavenly Father. It's not something that we achieve. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we can go and take. Our identity is one that we receive. God has given us who we are, and who we are is His child. When you think of your father, and if you had a wonderful father, praise God. That's an awesome blessing. But when you think of your Father in heaven, who loves you, who has done everything for you, it's hard to put those into words. It's hard to express that. And if you're talking to someone that didn't have a positive father, that's a big leap for them to try and understand. How can you feel this way about your Father God? You live it, you show it, you love them, you hug them if they need it. That's sharing that companionship, that fellowship, that friendship that God has given to us. Because everybody around us is also a child of God. They just may not realize it yet. That's something new that they have never understood or never even heard. And to think in their case that they're a child of God, if their father was not a good father, how can this God be any better? But He is, because we can share that, because we experience it. May our lives faithfully express who we truly are, children of God. We think about the magnitude of that statement. I hope each one feels to their very core the value of being a child of God, because you are. It's something that you can walk around with, something that you can share if it's appropriate. But as you come to pray to God, as a child of God, that you can Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. These are all appropriate for a child to say to their father. We can get caught up in an adult life, and in some cases, our adult life is many decades. We're still children. We still have Daddy, Papa, Abba, that loves us and absolutely is so excited to have His children. If you'd join me in prayer. God, I thank You for Your love for each one, for Your desire to have the entirety of humanity as Your children. And God, we know that most do not understand. Even now, as war rages in the Middle East, it's Your children fighting Your children. God, we pray that You would send Jesus to this earth. We pray that the return would come soon, and that we can all become united in the knowledge and understanding and experience of being Your children. God, I thank You for this message. I ask that we go home and we absolutely own the knowledge that we are Your children. It's a gift. We can't earn it. It's not something we achieve, but it's something You have given to us. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Communion, and I will read 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 through 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all share the one loaf. If you'd bow your heads. God, again, we thank You for this meal that has been provided from Jesus, His broken body and His shed blood. God, and we thank you that you've given us the opportunity to participate in you, to participate in what Jesus has given us. God, as your children, we thank you for this gift. And God, we ask that you would bless it and that you would be with us. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we could be together to worship you. We know that we are your children and that you love us with a perfect love, a love like no other. Be with us as we leave here today. Provide us guidance and protection throughout this coming week. I praise you for being the loving Father that you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And the closing benediction is Ephesians 6, verses 23 and 24. Peace be to the brothers in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Everyone have a great week.